City Council meeting for Tuesday, May 5th,
2020 to order. Invocation by Councilman Jeff Boyd, followed by a pledge of allegiance.
Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. I thank you for the men and women that are in the hospitals that are working on the front lines, even the ones for here that are out of town, North Carolina, New York. I just pray for them, and I pray for their families. And I just pray for their strength, Lord, and their encouragement. I thank you for our fire and police and all of our city employees that have no problem, that have just gotten out there and just fought the fight, Lord. I just pray for their strength and for their health. I thank you for our city and that just the beauty of it, sometimes to take our mind off of it. Lord, we just ask your blessings upon our country right now. I ask for just peace, I ask for calm, and I just ask for wisdom of our leaders. And tonight I ask for wisdom as we move forward. Just give us discernment, give us fairness and kindness, and Lord, just bless this city in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kenney?
Here. Entertain a motion considering tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda with 9 additional items, the first being a resolution declaring awarding the bid for the rec center drainage and tennis courts improvement. The second, a resolution authorizing the purchase of a vehicle for the utilities department. The third, a resolution authorizing the purchase of a service vehicle with a truck bed for the utilities department. The fourth, resolution authorizing a lease agreement for a portable classroom for Camp Sunshine. The fifth, a resolution authorizing a lease agreement for a portable classroom for Expect Excellence. The sixth, a resolution authorizing a license agreement for child care software. The seventh, a resolution approving the submission of the 2019 Municipal Water Pollution Prevention Annual Report. Eighth, a resolution authorizing the sole source purchase of a submersible pump for the utilities department. And the ninth addition, a resolution adopting a COVID-19 remediation program.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Considering our previous minutes from the regular council meeting committee of the whole 4-7-2020, if there are no objections, the reading of the minutes will be waived. Any corrections to the minutes? No corrections, minutes stand approved as written. Any announcements by council? Jeff?
Mayor, I'd just like to say, if you are here and you haven't filled out the census, then please do that. If you have already filled out your census, go to your family members, go to your friends, go to your neighbors. Orange Beach is last in this state as far as percentage of our residents filling out the census. It is an important thing, so I can't stress it enough that if you see us, if you're seeing it on TV, if you haven't filled it out, it takes no more than 4 minutes to fill it out. Please fill out the census and get it turned back in. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Jeff?
You want to talk about?
Yeah, just briefly, yeah, please do.
Okay. While this has been going on, one of the biggest things on everyone's mind is safety, and not just the safety of what's happening in the city, but at the forefront is the safety with everyone coming to town. And by far, we want everyone here. We want them back. We want the business back. But our number one priority is our safety, our employee safety, and the safety of the people that are coming and their families. So on that note, you know, everybody says we're using CDC guidelines, but it's really sort of vague what CDC guidelines are. And everybody kind of takes their own interpretation of that. Well, if y'all remember back when we did Leave Only Footprints, Green Co. Company initiated that for us. David Green and Green Co. came up with a program that is a training on COVID-19. And here's the importance. Let's say Maria is cleaning an elevator. And Maria understands, spray the elevator, get inside, wipe the doors. But she also uses that rag elsewhere. And she also may cough in the elevator and not know how to protect it. This training trains them on what COVID-19 is, It trains them in understanding what the difference between decontamination and disinfection. Because you have to clean it before you can disinfect it. You can't sterilize or disinfect dirt. And then what disinfectant is, what sterilization is, and really how to prevent cross-contaminating. And the best way to describe that would be like raw chicken in your kitchen. You would never move it from here to here. You would never touch here and then go touch around your kitchen. And it's just training the basics. It's all done through video. So we are implementing a program through Greenco to train our employees by department heads and who they choose at the beginning on this basic. It'll be in an app and on a laptop. We're also joining with other cities, Gulf Shores. We're hoping that others will join on and doing this as a program to say, as a city, we care so much about you, we are implementing this process to step up to one more level to protect you and to protect the people that are coming here, because your safety is our number one value. So if you have any questions, you can ask me later, send me a text or something, but we'll be working with Greenco to implement that. And David is here. David, thank you. I think it's a great program of what you started, and you thought in a whole different manner than everybody else. Everybody that's come to us wanted to sell a mask, sell a ventilator, sell this, and you basically said, hey, let's look at this. And you saw it because somebody saw someone in Publix using a rag in a bathroom, and then they saw them using the same rag cleaning something else somewhere. And it kind of triggered, and I don't even know if it was this Publix, it was just a story. But it was basically saying, teaching people what the proper processes are, not just here's a spray bottle and go clean. And if you think about it, and then I'm going to be on 30 seconds, I'm sorry, but let's look at it this way. Look at if you're going to a condo. You've come from out of town. You've come to a condo. You don't really know how it's been cleaned. They tell you it's been cleaned. And you can go disinfect it once, but you can't do it every single time with a company coming in. And it's sort of teach a man to fish, or teach him how to give him a fish, or teach him how to fish. So that's the basic concept. But when you go in a hotel room, you have a little card that says, hey, Sally cleaned this room. What if you had an 8x10 with a picture of someone in PPEs, and it said, look, not only did we clean this room, we were fully dressed out in PPEs, your sheets were in a sealed bag from the cleaners all the way to here, they didn't get cross-contaminated, this person was completely covered as they put them on, and we want you to know that we protected this condo to everything we could do for the safety of your family. That's where the goal is and where this is headed as an education. And it's just keeping everyone as safe as we can possibly do it and taking an extra step in insurance just for safety. So, David, would you say that's a pretty good assessment?
Yeah, I thank you to have the opportunity. I think that if you believe in education, then you never stop learning. And it's a very strange and difficult time that our world is in. It's another form of disaster response for me. And I also think that it is so unfair for anyone to suggest that the restaurant owners and the business owners and the condominium providers and lodging partners don't know what they're doing. That's an unfortunate characterization that can occur, and it's not fair to them. Many businesses and many people know what they're doing, and they train their people. This gives us an opportunity to highlight the brilliance and excellence of our community, the same way we rallied after the oil spill, and the same way we have rallied for Leave Only Footprints and other things. So it's in no way my intention to be an undue and unnecessary burden on the small business owner. I want for us to obtain grant funding, hopefully, for coastal marketing. I want for us to obtain grant funding to reimburse potentially employees. And I'm trying to work with industry insurance providers to help in the future reduce insurance and workers' comp rates for those that go through the program. We're trying, and I'm inviting people to participate and communicate with us, medical and other leaders. We're working with epidemiologists, subject matter OSHA PhD specialists to write curriculum and deliver it through our local educational online partner, Columbia Southern University, to produce a university certificate for the people that produce the courses. That's important. It's also during this time become very near and dear to me. You may have heard some of the recent stories in the paper linking the rare childhood Kawasaki and other syndromes to children and how they may have a COVID-19 connection. I'm not a medical doctor, and so it's not appropriate for me to make that connection. But my 19-month-old daughter spent a week in USA Women's and Children's Hospital with all of the symptoms, most of the symptoms described, was released and then almost immediately readmitted. And it's a very frightening experience. And so I'm reaching out around the world to medical experts to try to collaborate. So I'm not the person that's going to come up with the vaccine, okay? But I recognize an opportunity where we can help one another, educate one another, and support our businesses and our municipal employees. Because we just got a battle on this one, and I'm trying to do my part. And so I'm grateful to have the opportunity to work with Orange Beach to do that.
Thank you, David.
It's a perfect window of opportunity because it'll position cities and municipalities for the new norm. We're not going to go back to just the norm. It's going to be the new norm and how we do things after we open everything back up. So we appreciate you reaching out to us.
Yes, sir.
Moving on, can you go to camera?
I move to certify the cash requirements with no related interest are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest and SWIFT supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment. Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Moving to unfinished business resolution. Resolution authorizing execution amended. Restated transfer of guaranteed contribution use agreement Baldwin County Board of Education Performing Arts Building.
Move to postpone consideration until the next council meeting on May 19th.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? New business resolution. Resolution authorizing execution of a professional services agreement with Moffitt and Nickel Engineering Environmental Consulting Services.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution authorizing execution of task order with Moffitt and Nickel. Implementation Lower Perdido Bay, Perdido Pass Navigation Project, Hydrological Modeling, and Settlement Budget Study, not to exceed $365,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of task order with Moffitt and Nickel. Restoration Alternatives Analysis Design of Lower Perdido Bay, Perdido Pass, and amount not to exceed $413,822.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion?
Philip, is any of this reimbursable or grant money or anything of that nature?
It's 100% grant.
100%?
From Narrative Hand, Bucket 2 of Restore.
It's well needed right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that pass has changed so much, it's unbelievable.
We did phase one a few years ago with the management plan. This is the actual hard science model for that. So,
are the islands going to be included, or is it just from the bridge to the Gulf?
It'll go from the F-Shell to 98 Bridge.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If y'all remember, this is some of that money we never got.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, resolution award the bid for recreation center drainage and tennis court improvements.
I'm sorry, can we call for a vote on the last one?
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? In addition, resolution award the bid for recreation center drainage, tennis court improvements, Ammons, Blackman Construction, not to exceed $1,460,905,045.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? In addition, resolution authorizing the purchase of a vehicle for the utilities department. $29,861.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Addition resolution authorizing purchase of a service vehicle with truck bid, utilities department, state bid, $69,362.
Move to adopt
the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Addition resolution authorizing execution of lease agreement. Williams, Scotsman, Portable Classroom, Camp Sunshine, $39,765.73 for a term of 24 months.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion?
Were we going to change any of this? Or
yes, we upped it to a 24-month lease, okay, which saved us $10,000 over the 2 years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Addition, resolution authorizing execution of lease agreement. William Scott, Portable Classroom, $39,765.73, 24 months.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Addition, resolution authorizing execution of software license agreement, active network, childcare module, connect app,
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? In addition, a resolution approving the submission of a 2019 Municipal Water Pollution Prevention Annual Report.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion.
Yes. Mr. Hartley, 17 pages. I was educated last night on this report. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Tell me what it says.
17 pages. I'm gonna print it because I've got to highlight some things you're gonna have to explain. But very well detailed. Thank you, and thank staff for helping you with that.
I appreciate it.
He's the smartest man I ever know behind Gary McMullen.
Yeah. Gary's signature was on it too.
I love him. We're excited.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Addition resolution authorizing sole source purchase of a submersible pump, GM House Associates Utilities Department, $33,576.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Addition resolution adopting the COVID-19 remediation program, City of Orange Beach.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Dave. Moving to public hearings. As everyone knows, Griffin will make a presentation on the case, followed by questions from the council. We'll then open the floor for discussion, close the floor, and any other questions by council. Griffin, the floor is yours.
Yeah, this is Robinson Grove Plan Unit Developments. The address is at 4576 Walker Key Boulevard, east of the Walker Key condominiums. The property is currently zoned MR. This project had preliminary PUD approval in 2019, and this is a request for the final PUD approval to rezone the property from MR to plan unit development for a single family residential subdivision that will contain 14 lots, along with common swimming pool and boat access to Terry Cove. The Planning Commission held a public hearing and considered this at their March 2020 meeting and gave it a favorable recommendation. If we go to the next slide. Just a summary again, this is for 14 lots. All cottages will have three sleeping rooms. Each cottage will have the parking. There will be three spaces and they will be underneath the structure. There will be seven exterior overflow spaces located throughout the plan unit development. There's a 5-foot side setback, which means there will be a 10-foot separation between buildings. This project will have its access to Canal Road by Walker Key Boulevard through an easement. There will be two roadways within the proposed development. There's the main one being Robinson Lane that will be a 26-foot right-of-way and a 26-foot wide road. Salty Lane will be a private 20-foot road, and it will be for lots 4, 5, and 6. There will be a turnaround area in front of lots 13 and 14. The roadways will be gravel instead of paved, and there will be 14 boat slips on Terry Cove, and vacation rentals will be allowed in the development. If we go to the next slide, again, it's presently zoned MR, and under current zoning, condominiums can be built by right. In 2015, a condominium was approved on this property, and it was for 26 units, and on the screen, you see the different densities and allowable units based on the floors if you were doing a condominium on the property. If we go to the next slide, and this is just an overview of the proposed master plan development. Again, it's 1.69 acres, 14 units proposed, and they'll have 48% common open space. Next slide just gives an overview of the cottage lots. Average size 1,672 square feet. The front and rear setbacks are 3 feet, and the side setbacks are 5 feet. Now on lots 4, 5, and 6, there are no setbacks. That's on Salty Lane, and they'll have a 3-foot overhang easement for the roof overhang to go into the right of way. The three bedroom cottages. And the building height's 3 floors. There'll be 2 habitable levels on pilings, and they require 3 spaces. They're providing 3. If we go to the next slide, these are just architectural elevations of the proposed cottages. Next slide. As with any planning development, you look at how it differs from the zoning ordinance and the subdivision regulations. And from a zoning standpoint, they're asking for a reduction in the lot size, lot width, and the setbacks proposed. And when you look at subdivision regulations, the right-of-way and roadway width are asking for a reduction in that. Roadway materials normally is you have a paved road in a subdivision. They're asking for this to be gravel. And they're asking for an exemption from the sidewalk and the lighting, street lighting requirements. Next slide. This is just the current zoning map. They're showing the location in the blue indicates MR. And next slide. This is just an aerial map showing the project location. And our next slide. This is just another look at the landscape master plan. And the next slide. The approvals for the project has some conditions. One is providing the legal documentation. And the last one, making the roadway improvements at the intersection of Robinson Lane and Walker Key Boulevard, that being the asphalt or concrete apron at least 20 feet in length, that was recommended by the Planning Commission. So if you have any questions.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Are there going to be any street lights at all in that section?
We didn't want to put street lights. They'll be lit from under the buildings.
Okay.
And we're going to wire them to where they'll be on a photocell when they come on in dark. If we had a street light, if you go back to that slide, on the immediate west side of the first grouping of units that we're going to build is building.
Which one?
I think it's building E at Walker Key, and we didn't want to have that right in their balcony.
Okay.
It's going to be hard enough to build there with them folks. They're mad at me. So,
I understand. Okay, thank you.
Greg, was your intention from the beginning to have vacation rentals?
It wasn't my...
I didn't think it was your original.
Well, no, but I would think that anybody who rents there, that they would probably want to have that option. It's zoned MR. I think it's allowed in that. And Walker Key, they have rentals like that. So.
Thank you, Greg.
Any other questions? All right, so this time I'll open the floor for any comments, questions, thoughts. Okay. Close the floor. Do you have a question?
I did want to say that our daughter is home from the hospital and doing much better.
So
it's good to be grateful for that blessing.
Yep.
I'm glad you let us know. That's
the most important part.
Thank you, David.
She was scared. It was scary. Okay, y'all good? All right. Then we'll close the public hearing. Griffin, second public hearing is amending ordinance number 172, zoning ordinance. Extension of the Freshwater Place Parking PUD till September 30th, 2021.
Yes, if you see on the screen, this shows the project location. And it said it's immediately west of the Island House Hotel on Perdido Beach Boulevard. If we go to the next slide. Again, the city approved this project in May 2017. It rezoned the property from RS1 to Plan Unit Development. And this was approved for an overflow parking area for Turquoise Place condominiums. The PUD approval is good for 3 years, meaning it will be expiring May 2020 or the end of this month. The applicant is requesting that to be extended to September 2021, and the extension will allow Turquoise Place to generate the additional parking revenues needed to begin construction of a new parking garage east of its tower by October 2021. The next slides are those that are provided by the applicants, so I will turn this over to them.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I started this, and at that time, I was president of Turquoise, and I decided I couldn't make 400 people happy even though I know you can get to make 4,000 happy. But we built the temporary parking lot. We had every intention of going right on and building a parking garage. And nothing new to Orange Beach. Litigation started as soon as we announced that we were going to do it. Litigation, we checked to the west. We wanted to attach it to our building. We checked to the east. We wanted to attach it to our building. Through this litigation, it finally got resolved just several months ago. So we do have an option now on the property and want to go ahead with our project. Since then, Jason Boyles has become president of the board. I'm still on the board, very active in this. I have a residence on Avenue C in Orange Beach. But I'm sure all of you have probably driven by our parking lot, which we put quite an investment in to make it look nice when you're there. But actually, from the highway, we've done it so it's not an eyesore. You really can't hardly see it from the highway. So if we get this extension that we're asking for, we now have an option on the property, finally. Litigation was concluded just several months ago, and so we're ready to proceed. And since Jason is now president of our board and also Spectrum Management, he has done a PowerPoint presentation to give you an idea what this will look like and what it will do as far as solving the parking problem. And we also kept in mind and have tried to work with the city in every way possible. It's been a problem, we realize, with the city of people parking across the road. We've taken it upon ourselves to say, hey, you can't park across the road. If we catch them, you know, they'll be towed or whatever. It's not our property, and we try to comply and be good stewards for the city. And so doing all that, I'm going to ask Jason to make a presentation and show you just what we do plan on building, if you will be so nice to go along with it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Gene. To maintain my sanity, I just accepted that I'd never make 400 owners happy. That's the only way to be sane in this position. But we appreciate your time tonight. And really, the most exciting thing is we finally have a plan that is well underway that will deliver a permanent solution to the parking problem in Turquoise Place. And to make that plan a reality, we need some help from the city, and that's in the form of the extension. The extension would allow the additional parking revenues so that we can commence construction by September, October, right after the summer of 21, and also provide Turquoise Place guests and owners safe and convenient parking alternatives. If you wouldn't mind, sir, please go back to the timeline.
That's the first slide there.
No, I'm sorry. It's our second slide. It should be the fourth slide there.
There it is.
So just rewinding the clock for a minute, 3 years ago, we got the three-year approval. And I'll be the first to admit and hit it head on that, you know, like you said, you got 3 years to make it happen. All right? And I fully acknowledge that. And I want to make sure that we clearly communicate the efforts that we went to make that happen. That did not fall lightly on us. We were very sincere and did everything we possibly could. But when that three-year extension was granted, we didn't have land to build the garage on. We didn't have the money to pay for it. We didn't have it designed, and we didn't have the owner support, right? So the first thing we had to do is say, okay, what land are we going to build it on? Well, it needs to be connected either on the east or the west side. The east side, the landowner wasn't willing to sell it. The west side, we started pursuing that. And then there was a threat of litigation. So then that stopped in its tracks. So then we said, oh, gosh, well, this is going to be difficult. And then a year later, as Gene alluded to, The land finally became available. So now we're 1 year into the 3 year period. Once the land became available, that was April of 18. In May of 18, we immediately created a parking reserve fund and started generating revenues to pay for the garage. We started charging guests that brought more than two vehicles to park inside the existing towers. That generates about $200,000 a year, and that continues. Soon thereafter, we engaged Forrest Daniel, the architect for Turquoise Place, and also asked him to do a conceptual design for the garage. He developed a design. We asked Yates Construction to figure out the conceptual price, right? Got to figure out how much it's going to cost, and we got to figure out how we're going to pay for it. In May 19, we sent a survey to all the owners to gauge interest, because if the owners don't support it, it ain't going to happen. The owners overwhelmingly said, look, if y'all can figure out a way to where we don't have to pay for it and the guests pay for it, we'll support it. All right, let us go to work on that. By the end of 19, we had the design was fully completed, so we have a fully designed building at this point. When the owner said, figure out how to get it built, but we don't want to pay for it, we said, okay, well, let's develop a second source of parking revenue, and that is to charge guests for the first two vehicles. So we've developed that plan. We have rolled it out to all the management companies and all the VRBO owners, and that's going into effect June the 1st. It was going to go into effect May 1st, but then because of COVID, we did delay it 30 days. So that's going into effect June the 1st, and I'm going to get into the details of those numbers in just a second. Next slide, please, sir. We can go next slide. All right, so there's a view from the road. You can see that, you know, you really can't see the east lot. And then on the right side, that's an aerial view. Actually, a pretty nice parking lot. As Gene mentioned, we've got a couple hundred thousand dollars invested in the parking lot. So next slide, please. So if I'm in your seat, I'm like, okay, this all sounds good. When are you going to start the garage? Right? So the plan is, based off of all the pieces of the puzzle we have in place, we'll be able to start construction after next summer, so September, October 2021. So the approximate budget is about $12 million. I say approximate, it's real close to $12 million. The numbers are pretty solid at this point. So next slide, please. So how are we going to pay for it? Next slide. I think you skipped one. I got another word. Go forward one, please. Okay. All right, so the first source of revenue there is $700,000. That's from the new parking plan that we're putting into place June the 1st. We know how many reservations there are at the property each year. We have lots of historical data. Because everybody has to register all the guests that come on the property. So that should be a pretty solid number. The $200,000 below that, this will be year three that we've done that. So, you know, we have historical data there. So you add those together, that's $900,000. Okay? So I put these numbers together back pre-COVID, back when interest rates were a little higher. So it's 5% interest rate, $10 million loan, 25-year amortization, annual debt payment on that's about $700,000. Okay, with $900,000 in revenue. Now, if you could go back one slide, please. So, $10 million loan, $12 million cost, we got to have $2 million to bridge the gap. So, we've got about, I'm going to round for a minute, but we got about $400,000 in the first parking plan that we put into place accumulated. And then that'll generate another $200,000 each year, this year and next year. So, that now you're up to about $800,000. And then the new parking plan, the first two vehicles generate $700,000 a year. You add all that up, that's $2.2 million. We get to $12.2 million. Total cost $12 million. Have a little bit left over for contingency. Any questions on those numbers?
How many spaces?
Most recent, 156. I think it's 156.
Right, they had 160.
Yeah.
Do you think this summer, I mean, you'll have probably a negative impact on COVID-19 as far as maybe a numbers of concern? Are you concerned about that?
There's certainly some concern, but I tell you what, over the past, I'm also president of Spectrum Resorts. We manage a bunch of condos there, and we've had record-breaking days over the past 3 or 4 days.
Oh,
and a lot of the reservations have been for last-minute May reservations, which typically, as everybody knows, it's slow up until Hangout Festival and Memorial Day.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Time will tell. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic. It may have somewhat of an impact, but I don't think it would be, you know, a material percentage.
Okay.
So the final slides are just some of the renderings of what the garage look like. And that's the current site. That's okay, next slide. Oh, it's a little bit closer up. Keep going, please. That's without the landscaping. We'll have the landscaping. So that's the existing pool there. There's the rooftop on the new garage.
That's it.
Uh-huh. So in closing, you know, we've had 3 years, and I don't know how much you all have been involved with homeowners associations, but I know arguments and fighting over, you know, pet policies and stuff can take months and months and months. So to try and get 400 owners on board, or the vast majority of those on board and support spending $12 million, even though they're not money out of pocket, it's still debt of the association. So if the revenue doesn't come in, the association knows that. To get that support and the litigation, clearly, I mean, that took a year of the three right there away. I would just ask that we've got the pieces to the puzzle in place finally, and all we need at this point is a little bit of time for those pieces to gel, and we'll be able to make it happen. Thank you.
Jason.
Yes.
My concern is that you say the owners don't want to spend any money, and they're the ones that benefit from the rentals. So my fear is if you come up short with some of your projections, and you have to go to the owners, and they say no, where are you then? Because if the owners aren't willing to invest in this, and they want it all to be handled by rentals, and you have trouble making those numbers, are you going to be back here again?
And that's a valid point. I don't think that will happen. They didn't necessarily. The question was, they didn't come out and say, we would vote no if we have to put a dollar into it. The question was phrased more as, okay, well, would you support it? Would you support this structure? And this is the structure that we're going to try to move forward with. So I haven't gotten necessarily, I may have misstated that just a little bit. They haven't said no, they wouldn't do it. But that will certainly be something that we have to address, you know, with the
owners. Because that would like some kind of guarantee. I mean, I know you can't do that, but my fear is that we're going to be revisiting this again. If there's a distaste for the owners to take part in this, when they clearly benefit from it,
But isn't that up to the board? I mean, sure, you have 400 opinions, Jason.
Correct.
I don't know that you've made 200 out of the 400 happy. I understand what you're up against. And trust me, I pity you for being president like it did Mr. Gene. But I'm going to say this. That would be a civil matter between those two entities, I would believe, the owners and the HOA. You have a board, HOA, correct? Consists of how many?
Seven.
That fought this legal
six,
battle.
Actually.
Helped you get through this legal battle, correct? And y'all make the decisions. You're not going to win over every 400.
No, we will not.
I understand that.
Right. We need 60%.
Okay. So it's not a board decision, though.
That's the number, Jason.
The board's already supportive.
Yeah. Board support.
Right.
60%. The board's 100%.
The board's 100% behind it.
And 60% of the owners, right?
Is what's required.
What's required. Thank you. That's the number I was looking for.
Right. When are you going to have the vote?
In January. Will be the formal vote. And there's one annual meeting a year.
Can we continue it to January and then look at it then? Because if it's not accepted,
can we? Could we get the extension maybe just till January?
Mm-hmm. That's what
you're saying. Giving you an extension through the summer to,
you know, if
until
we.
Until the vote.
Yeah. And if we, mm-hmm. we have to tell you to tell your owners that if they don't, if this doesn't happen, there's going to be no leeway on parking off site because no one else gets that kind of leeway. So they need to know that this is their option or they're going to get told or they can't bring more to them, period. There is no, I guess what I'm saying is, this is the last option in front of them to solve their parking problem. Otherwise,
right.
Then we'll solve it for them. So I don't mean that in an ugly way, but I just think they need to understand, and maybe they do, Mr. Jim, y'all tell me, but I think you know my point, right?
Right. It is, and we took a straw vote at the last annual meeting, and 80% of the people voted to build the garage. Mm-hmm. I think we've made it sound a little more that they're not so interested, but really, the vast majority that own condos over there, like myself, rent them. Mm-hmm. So the people aren't there and they're saying, hey, if I'm not there, but this guy's renting, he needs to pay for parking. That's, you know, basic. And we're not the only ones doing that. Before we started this, we took a survey. And in fact, I own units at Phoenix. I have to pay for parking, mm-hmm. if I guess. This isn't new down here. When this was constructed, I think we were allowed 1.5 parking spaces. We have 5-bedroom units over there.
Yeah.
You know? We've gone out on a limb trying to do everything possible. I leased property from a Christian Life Church. Mm-hmm. Run a van back and forth to get by to make people happy. I think this is the solution, though.
Right. Let me say one more thing. Spectrum actually owns the land that we're selling to the association.
Who does?
Spectrum. Okay. So if the projections are not where they need to be, Spectrum also owns a bunch of condos there. Right. So I really want the garage to be built because it will benefit and help the values of those condominiums. So if need be, and the projections and numbers aren't quite there, I can always defer the land payments over time, right, which decreases the loan amount, which will make up for the shortfall in the revenues.
I have a question.
Yes,
first of all, kudos to the beauty of Forrest Daniels' vision.
He's great.
Yes.
That is the most beautiful garage I've ever seen, and I love his work.
I do too. Thank you.
I'm a little confused because you're asking for an extension until September, yet you just said you hope to start construction in September or October, and you will need the use of that lot while the garage is under construction, no?
No, because the garage will be constructed from either September, October's start time frame, and will be completed by May.
September, so October of...
Of 2021.
But they have adequate parking in the off season.
Okay. So you don't need the additional parking in the fall of 2021.
Correct. That's correct. In the fall. That's right. We don't need it in the fall. Because
so beyond September of 2021, you no longer need the shell lot because you're going to be in the new glorious garage.
As of May of 2022. Gotcha.
2022 or 2021?
2021. The completion, construction completion.
Start construction in 2021, September, October, completion May 2022.
Okay. And you don't need it through snowbird season, and you don't need it through spring break, and you don't need it, right? Because the agreement's going to end in September of 2021.
Okay. That's correct.
Correct. Yeah, it was off season. Construction is during off season, they don't need any issues.
Even though it's not going to be completed till May.
Summer is obviously when the highest demand is, when we really need the overflow parking.
Okay.
Hey, I applaud you both for bringing such a great plan to the table and finally having a solution that we'd see here and go, finally. The only thing that I would see in this is it may be best to wait until your January vote just to make sure how the tropics are for the summer. But we don't, I don't say the word, but.
The only hesitation I have, so what about if projections are off a little bit this year, and then next year they're ahead, right? So then in January, we're going to say, well, we're not going to get an extension because of their projections were off because of COVID.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I have no problem giving you the extension. Okay. I like the plan. I like what you brought to the table. And I applaud you for coming with a solution and a clear-cut answer. Thank you.
I just want the board to embrace it and say yes before we...
The board already has.
I meant the...
She means the membership.
The membership.
Well, they have a straw vote.
60%.
80%.
80%.
80%.
And they know what they're up against. I mean, they know they've got to figure this out. So.
Well, it's about, what, 35,000 cost per unit. So, I mean, that's a no-brainer, especially if somebody has to pay in 30 or 35. That's what I mean. Maybe the numbers are off there, but I would gladly, with a five-unit condominium that rents for $1 billion, I'd gladly spend another $35,000 for parking for my guests. So.
And the owner's guests are going to be paying the majority of that.
That's right.
Correct. All of it.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, the property that the lot is on now, spouse is also in a lawsuit with the city, correct? Isn't that correct?
I refuse to answer that.
Okay. Which problem?
Yes, somebody's in the suit with us. Oh, yeah.
So that's another reason why I would like to have a definitive answer. I would like for this to go.
But I don't think their property has anything to do with that suit.
Their property doesn't.
The person that's suing the city is benefiting from the continued use of that lot.
Oh, okay.
You see,
I don't even know. Yeah, I didn't even know he had condos. I don't know if he had. Does he still have condos? Mr. Warren, do you have still condos?
No. The lot, isn't that Judy's lot? His wife's lot? That they're
Not anymore.
That's litigation.
That's what made this possible. That was an outcome of the litigation.
That was
right.
The outcome of that
right.
litigation.
They were forced to sell it to us.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think it's a great plan. We appreciate you.
Thank you all.
Yeah. Both of you. Thank you, Mr. Carter. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
It's a problem solved for us, too.
It's beautiful. And it's something they can be proud of.
Yes.
Okay. Moving to ordinances. Ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Robertson Grove final PUD. And... because this thing has been delayed, if we can move forward, we'd like to move that forward.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of the ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silver?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Pennon?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Mayor, I would ask that you move to adopt the ordinance subject to staff conditions.
Move to adopt the ordinance subject to staff conditions.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Abstain.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kenan?
Yes.
So that passes.
Yes.
Sorry if you did the point, buddy. I think you understood.
I thank you all so much for that.
All right, first reading. Turquoise Place PUD for September 30th, 2021.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Any further? Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silver?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kenan?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kenan?
Yes. Okay, moving, we're going to move straight into the committee of the whole. First, I'm going to adjourn this meeting. Jason?
Yes, sir.
I've got a bunch of Jasons. Jason. Gene.
Jason Ross.
Jason Ross.
Jason Ross.
Jason Ross.
Jason Ross.
Jason Ross. I know we Facebook a lot. Did we talk about maybe allowing folks to send in questions that are watching if they have a question? I think y'all good with that?
Yeah. Sure.
As long as they're constructive, not personal or ugly, and they add something to the conversation. So if somebody writes that, bring them to you to vet. But if that works, I don't know how that works, but if there's somebody out there that has a question, we'll let them ask.
Are you talking about the public comment at the end of the cow?
Yeah, at the end of the cow, yeah. Well, this time they got time to think about what they're questioning for. So. All right, then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, moving to committee of the whole. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Payne?
Here. Considering previous minutes from Solid Waste Authority of 3/17/2020, our work session, our regular council meeting, and committee of the whole of 4/21/2020. Those will be moved forward for review. Moving to new business on miscellaneous, discuss a line of credit. Do we want to discuss that any further?
I will. The finance committee will meet next Tuesday and bring a recommendation forward, and we'll have it before you to be adopted in 2 weeks.
Thank you for the explanation today.
Yes. This is nothing more than precautions for what might become or what come. In the worst case scenario, we'll be in a position to not have to use up all of our reserve
position.
Yeah.
Yes.
Financial insurance policy.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great way to put it. Financial insurance policy. All right. Discuss performance contract for Tennis Pro. Make this real simple. Rhett has been with us for 16 or 17 years, is going to move to an independent contractor status, that we can work his hours his way, gives him a lot of flexibility in return. He's going to provide hours of free instruction for our children and whoever we might deem is worthy. But I think it's a good route for everybody involved. So if you're all good with it, we're going to move forward.
Yes.
Okay. Moving to resolutions. Resolution awarding the bid for the sewer office building. A resolution awarding the bid for the police vehicle emergency equipment. Resolution awarding the bid for the new boat lift for the fire department at Hudson Marina. Any questions on any of those?
All three of these bids are in the future day, future week. So we'll be back up.
Excuse me. No questions?
No questions.
All right.
There's a few people that want to live here.
Do what, buddy?
There's a few people said they want to live here, but no.
Tell them to come on down.
Come on down.
That's right.
My house is for sale.
Y'all see me.
Anybody in the room have a question or comment?
Appreciate the city's efforts and leadership during these difficult times.
Mayor.
I do want to say something to our first responders. There's a few of them here, but their chiefs are here.
Yes.
I can't say thank you enough. I know that we haven't had the reported issues here like they have in some other areas. And this gentleman sitting right over here just shared a great story about his daughter who was here at South Baldwin Hospital one time, but she's up in New York and she's on the front lines. And she recently lost two of her cases up there. And she's walking back. She's a 2 mile walk back to her hotel. And she'll be back in our area. But she actually was taking care of my father during his time up there. But she lost two of her cases up in New York. And I don't want to steal the thunder, but she was very upset walking home from the hospital after her workload back to her hotel. And people acknowledged her in New York from the windows above or balconies above that she was on the front lines. And it made her day. The acknowledgments, is that correct?
That's correct.
I mean, clapping and telling her thank you, hollering her how much
it means. And she's looking forward after 7 weeks to be back in a week and a half and
right.
2 weeks of quarantine.
Yep. So that's a success story from a local young lady. But every time one of our fire trucks goes by or one of our police officers or I see our two cars pulled over and searching a vehicle or something in the last few weeks, I think of them. You know, they still don't. In normal times, they don't know who's driving or anything like that. But and our first responders have checking with the shut-in folks and such like that through this time. I appreciate that. And I know our citizens appreciate seeing you on the roads or you're responding. It means a lot in these times. So thank you.
If I could just share one thing she told me. She said that...
Microphone. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. She shared the fact that, you know, it's tough up there and it's very, very chaotic. They have enough equipment. She's doing fine. But she said who she really admires, she came forward with two groups. One was the paramedics. She said, Dad, these people aren't paid a whole lot of money, but they are lifesavers, and those, that group in particular. And the other group that she wanted to acknowledge when we were speaking, she said of this CMAs, what when I was a kid, I guess they were called nurses. Practical nurces.
Nurses aides. Nurses assistants.
And she said, Dad, they're paid nothing, and they're putting their lives out there. So, you know, I just think that the city somehow, somewhere, some way, when this is all over, ought to acknowledge these people in somehow, because they are lifesavers. Right. Thank you.
The other aspect of the concierge service that we're providing for our shut-ins or at-risk.
Yes.
I mean, again, these guys made it work. They made it work with our partner, the volunteers organization. So it was really a smooth, thank you, Chris, Chiefs, everyone behind me. There's too many to thank.
Too many to thank.
But it's amazing how smoothly it went and how people felt very comfortable asking for help once they realized, hey, this is a, you know, I don't know how to describe it, because we all work together to make it work. I appreciate that very, very much. I know we all do. I should say hi. We all do. Thank you.
Mayor and Council, I'd also like to let you know how much of a help Southern Rapid Care has been, which we never missed a beat with Expect Excellence in Camp Sunshine. We immediately went from a three-hour day program to an 11-hour day program, roughly about 60 children a day. And we've had Southern Rapid Care every morning has come in at the start of this, of course, and taking temperatures of all of our children and all of our staff as they come through. Also keeping a nurse on call with us. If we see a spike in something, they're there within a few minutes. So they've been really providing great care to us. And they do as citizens, but especially employees. But for them to go out of their way at this time and have someone there at the Recreation Center campus and at the Camp Sunshine campus for us has been incredible. And it put a lot of the parents' fear down as well. And we've been able to provide this for 60 or more children every single day since this has started, so parents can continue to work.
And that is one of the biggest impediments to opening back up.
Yep. That's right.
Kids are out of school.
Yes. Yes.
And how do you go to work when you have kids who can't leave home alone? So we helped at least 60.
Yes.
I don't know how many parents are there, but and we're going to try to see if the government lets, how can we open up to a greater child care number as we come online for people that not only live here, but people that work here.
Yes.
And it may be way beyond our scope, maybe way beyond our ability. But we want to at least explore it and see in the short term, can we pull something off until school is back in? So that Camp Sunshine may be huge this year. And then we've got to figure out how to handle it. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Mayor, can I make one announcement? This Thursday, we'll be live streaming on Facebook Live the National Day of Prayer. That'll be at the Arts Center campus out back at 12 noon. So we'll put that out on social media as the week goes on. But Thursday at noon live, so I encourage people to watch that if they can. And if they happen to show up and spread around the campus, so be it. The one other thing we've mentioned is we're trying to get the swimming pool back open, so the Aquatic Center hopefully will open maybe by the end of this weekend. We're trying to finalize the diving board replacement where we've hit some snags with unknown properties. So as they've dug out the old diving board base. Some piping was there, Jeff.
It looked like spaghetti.
Did you help build that?
No, I built the original one. So it's no longer there, so don't.
I'm just asking.
Don't even.
It will be very good soon. So,
I would also just say to the citizens, any watching for sure, number one, thank you for respecting the distance at the beach in your boats and while you're out. And I beg that you continue to respect that. The more responsibility we show, the better it is for everyone and for everyone's safety. And the last thing I would say is, please continue to take good takeout orders and support your restaurants. We need them when this is over. We need them open. But for right now, while they're giving takeout, please go and support them.
For sure.
Yes, sir, Ms. Martin.
I've had a chance to watch a lot of television
a few weeks.
I think it's an interesting contrast when they have shown on the networks where California and in the East and in Florida, where they have opened up beach, people are just jammed out there. And when they showed, when we opened our beach, it was as though somebody went out there and placed them. They were, everybody was in perfect position.
We did. We drew X's in the sand.
Yeah, it looked like
we had very, very few. If I almost want to say there were so few issues that aren't worth mentioning. Out of all the thousands of people and hundreds of boats, 99.9% were respectful and followed the rules. And the ones that didn't, they were respectful once we brought it to their attention. So we just had no issues and hope that we don't. And we'll see. We'll see what happens as we start to open up more and more and more.
I noticed one day I drove over the bridge going east, and that stretch that you can see where swimmers are was perfect. I mean, the whole length of it. People had the park clear down here, but they were clear out there at the very end, all the way out. They were in perfect position.
Well, we appreciate the observation because it was very, very appreciated. Appreciated that, again, they understood that it was a privilege to have the beaches back open, and it's a privilege that could be revoked. So they worked hard with us to make sure that didn't happen. We just hope there's no spike and no repercussions. I don't think there will be, but I am making sure that we've done a lot of interviews about the beaches being open.
Mm-hmm.
But I have said, stated clearly, and I'm stating here, that if you're in that demographic that is at risk, you probably don't need to come to the beach. It's not the place. Crowds, the elevators, it's not the place. If you fit that very narrow demographic, but otherwise, I think you won't be able to come. Anybody else? Anything from? Well, that's good. I never would have thought that.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Y'all.